Happy Sunday. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. Hello, my name is Jim DeJunis from the North Carolina Reading Service. And for the next 30 minutes, I'm going to be reading to you from the Holy Bible. We're studying Exodus right now. And we'll also read from a daily devotional called Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young. And as we do every Sunday, we will begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glorious day, this beautiful April, this beautiful spring season. Spring when new things come to life. Lord, we thank you for our families and loved ones. We thank you for the North Carolina Reading Service and their volunteers and contributors that make programs like this possible. Lord, we are so grateful for all things. You teach us to be thankful in all things, in good things and in bad things, in suffering and in joy. Heavenly Father, help us to reach out to your Son, Jesus. We know he's there at all times for us, and help us to realize that, help us to embrace that. And Father, we love you, and we thank you, and we thank you for your Son, Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen. Well, as we are in the middle of April, I want to start with a reading here on April 18th from Sarah Young. Peace is my continual gift to you. It flows abundantly from my throne of grace. Just as the Israelites could not store up manna for the future, but had to gather it daily, so is it with my peace. The day-by-day collecting of manna kept my people aware of their dependence on me. Similarly, I give you sufficient peace for the present. When you come to me by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, if I gave you permanent peace, independent of my presence, you might fall into the trap of self-sufficiency. May that never be. I have designed you to need me moment by moment. As your awareness of your neediness increases, so does your realization of my abundant sufficiency. I can meet every one of your needs without draining my resources at all. Approach my throne of grace with bold confidence, receiving my peace with a thankful heart. A couple readings that support this scripture, writing today. First is from Exodus 16, something we read just a few weeks ago. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one of you is to gather as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any until morning." However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Again, that's from Exodus 16, verses 15 through 20. And then Philippians 4, and we read this a while back, verses 6 and 7, 6 through 7, and as well as 19. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And may God, and my God, will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." And then lastly, from Hebrews 4, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Some beautiful words from Sarah Young. Thank you, Miss Young. As we have been journeying through the book of Exodus with Moses, last week we started to learn about specific laws God gave to Moses in addition to the Ten Commandments. Laws about servants, laws about property, about social responsibility, about justice and mercy, about annual festivals that were to be held. I believe there were three. And then specific instructions in building the tabernacle. And so we begin chapter 27 today, as we continue with the building of tabernacle. Chapter 27, verse 1. "Build an altar of acacia wood, 3 cubits high. It is to be square, 5 cubits long, and 5 cubits wide." A cubit measures around 18 inches, about a foot and a half. So kind of give you a picture. "Make a horn at each of the 4 corners so that the horns and the altar are of one piece. and overlay the altar with bronze. Make all its utensils of bronze, its pots to remove the ashes, and its shovels, sprinkling bowls, meat forks, and fire pans. Make a grating for it, a bronze network, and a bronze ring at each of the four corners of the network. Put it under the ledge of the altar so that it is halfway up the altar. Make poles of acacia wood for the altar and overlay them with bronze. The poles are to be inserted into the ring so that they will be two sides of the altar when it is carried. Make the altar hollow out of boards. It is to be made just as you were shown on the mountain. Making of the courtyard. Make a courtyard for the tabernacle. The south side shall be 100 cubits long, and it is to have curtains of finely twisted linen, with 20 posts and 20 bronze bases, and with silver hooks and bands on the post. The north side shall also be 100 cubits long, and it is to have curtains with 20 posts and 20 bronze bases, and with silver hooks and bands on the post. The west end of the courtyard shall be 50 cubits wide and have curtains with 10 posts and 10 bases on the east side end. On the east end, toward the sunrise, the courtyard shall also be 50 cubits wide. Curtains 15 cubits long are to be on one side of the entrance with 3 posts and 3 bases, and curtains 15 cubits long are to be on the other side with 3 posts and 3 bases. For the entrance to the courtyard, provide a curtain 20 cubits long of purple, blue, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen, the work of an embroiderer, with 4 posts and 4 bases. All the posts around the courtyard are to have silver bands and hooks and bronze bases. The courtyard shall be 100 cubits long and 50 cubits wide, with curtains of finely twisted linen 5 cubits high with bronze bases. All the other articles used in the service of the tabernacle, whatever their function, including all the tent pegs for it and those of the courtyard, are to be bronze. Oil for the lampstand. Command the Israelites to bring you clear oil of pressed olives for the light so that the lamps may be kept burning. In the tent of meeting, outside the curtain, that is in front of the testimony, Aaron and his sons are to keep the lamps burning before the Lord from evening till morning. This is to be a lasting ordinance among the Israelites for generations to come. Pardon me as I turn a page. Chapter 28. Priestly Garments. Have Aaron, your brother, brought to you from among the Israelites, along with his sons Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, so that they may serve me as priests. Make sacred garments for your brother Aaron to give him dignity and honor. Tell all the skilled men to whom I have given wisdom in such matters that they are to make garments for Aaron for his consecration, so he may serve me as a priest. These are the garments they are to make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a woven tunic, a turban, and a sash. They are to make these sacred garments for your brother Aaron and his sons so that they may serve me as priests. Have them use gold and blue and purple and scarlet yarn and fine linen. The ephod. To make the ephod, make the ephod of gold and of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and of finely twisted linen, the work of a skilled craftsman. It is to have 2 shoulder pieces attached to 2 of its corners so it can be fastened. It is skillfully woven. Waistband is to be like it, of 1 piece with the same with the ephod, and made of gold and with blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and with finely twisted linen. Take 2 onyx stones and engrave on them the names of the sons of Israel in the order of their birth, 6 names on one stone and the remaining 6 on the other. Of course, these are the 12 tribes of Israel, the sons of Judah. Engrave the names of the sons of Israel on the 2 stones, the way a gem cutter engraves a seal. Then mount the stones in gold filigree settings and fasten them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel. Aaron is to bear the names on his shoulders as a memorial before the Lord. Make gold filigree settings and the two braided chains of pure gold like a rope, and attach the chain to the settings. The breastpiece. Fashion a breastpiece for making decisions, the work of a skilled craftsman. Make it like the ephod, of gold and of purple, blue, and scarlet yarn, and of finely twisted linen. It is to be square, a span long and span wide, a folded and folded double. Then mount four rows of precious stones on it. In the first row there shall be a ruby, a topaz, and a beryl. In the second row, a turquoise, a sapphire, and an emerald. And in the third row, a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. In the fourth row, a chrysolite, an onyx, and a jasper. Mount them in gold filigree settings. They are to be 12 stones, one for each of the names of the sons of Israel, each engraved like a seal with the name of one of the 12 tribes. For the breastpiece, make braided chains of pure gold like a rope. Make two gold rings for it and fasten them to two corners of the breastpiece. Fasten the two gold chains to the rings of the corners of the breastpiece and the other ends of the chains to the two settings, attaching them to the shoulder pieces of the ephod at the front. Make two gold rings and attach them to the other two corners of the breastpiece on the inside edge next to the ephod. Make two more gold rings and attach them to the bottom of the shoulder pieces on the front of the ephod, close to the seam just above the waistband of the ephod. The rings of the breastpiece are to be tied to the rings and the ephod with blue cord according to the waistband, so the breastpieces will not swing out from the ephod. Whenever Aaron enters the holy place, he will bear the names of the sons of Israel over his heart on the breastpiece of decision as a continuing memorial before the Lord. Also put the Urim and the Thummim in the breastpiece, so that they may be over Aaron's heart whenever he enters the presence of the Lord. Thus Aaron will always bear the names of the making decisions for the Israelites over his heart before the Lord. Other priestly garments. Make the robe of the ephod entirely of blue cloth, with an opening for the head of its cut center. There shall also be a woven edge like a collar around the opening, so that it will not tear. Make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn around the hem of the robe, with gold bells between them. The gold bells and the pomegranates are to alternate around the hem of the robe. Aaron must wear it when he ministers. The sound of the bells will be heard when he enters the holy place before the Lord and when he comes out, so that he will not die. Make a plate of pure gold and engrave on the seal, "Holy to the Lord." Fasten a blue cord to it, attach it to the turban. It is to be on the front of the turban. It will be on Aaron's forehead, and he will bear the guilt involved in the sacred gifts of the Israelites consecrate, whatever their gifts may be. It will be on Aaron's forehead continually, so that they will be acceptable to the Lord. Weave the tunic of fine linen and make the turban of fine linen. The sash is to be the work of an embroiderer. Make tunics, sashes, and headbands for Aaron's sons to give them dignity and honor. After you put these clothes on your brother Aaron and his sons, anoint and ordain them. Consecrate them so that they may serve me as priests. Make linen undergarments as covering for the body, reaching from the waist to the thigh. Aaron and his sons must wear them whenever they enter the tent of meeting or approach the altar to minister in the holy place, so that they will not incur guilt and die. This is to be a lasting ordinance for Aaron and his descendants. Chapter 29. This is what you are to do to consecrate them, so that they may serve me as priest. Take a young bull and two rams without defect, and from fine wheat flour without yeast, make bread and cakes mixed with oil, and wafers spread with oil. Put them in a basket and present them in it, along with the bull and the two rams. Then bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Take the garments and dress Aaron with a tunic, the robe of the ephod itself, and the breastpiece. Fasten the ephod on him by its skillfully woven waistband. Put the turban on his head and attach the sacred diadem to the turban. Take the anointing oil and anoint him by pouring it on his head. Bring his sons and dress them in tunics and put headbands on them. Then tie sashes on Aaron and his sons. The priesthood is theirs by an everlasting ordinance. In this way you shall ordain Aaron and his sons. Bring the bull to the tent of the tent in front of the tent of meeting, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on its head. Slaughter it in the Lord's presence at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Take some of the bull's blood and put it on horns of the altar with your finger, and pour out the rest of it on the base of the altar. Then take all the fat around the inner parts, the covering of the liver and both kidneys, with the fat on them, and burn them on the altar. But burn the bull's flesh and its hide and its offal outside the camp. It is a sin offering. So why blood? God uses blood throughout the Bible. Jesus' blood, of course. And blood is a symbol of life. All that lives has a blood. Verse 15, take one of the rams, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on its head. Slaughter it, and take the blood and sprinkle it on the altar, against the altar on all sides. Cut the ram into pieces and wash the inner parts and legs, putting them on with the head and with the other pieces. Then burn the entire ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord, pleasing aroma, an offering made to the Lord by fire. Take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on its head. Slaughter it. Take some of its blood and put it on the lobes of the right ears of Aaron and his sons, on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet. Then sprinkle blood against the altar on all sides, and take some of the blood on the altar and some of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it on Aaron and his garments and his son and their garments. Then he and his sons and their garments will be consecrated. Take from this ram the fat tail, the fat around the inner parts and the covering of the liver, both kidneys and the fat on them, and the right thigh. From the basket of bread made without yeast, which is before the Lord, take a loaf and a cake made with oil and a wafer. Put all these in the hands of Aaron and his sons, and wave them before the Lord as a wave offering. Then take them from their hands and burn them on the altar along with the burnt offerings for a pleasing aroma to the Lord, an offering made to the Lord by fire. After you take the breast of the ram of Aaron's ordination, wave it before the Lord as a wave offering, and it will be your share. Consecrate those parts of the ordination ram that belong to Aaron and his sons, and the breast that it was waved, and the thigh that was present. This will always be the regular share for the Israelites, for Aaron and his sons. It is the contribution the Israelites are to make to the Lord for their fellowship offerings. Aaron's sacred garments will belong to his descendants so that they can be ordained and ordained in them. The son who succeeds him as priest and comes to the tent of meeting to minister in the holy place will wear them for 7 days. Take the ram for the ordination and cook the meat in a sacred place. At the entrance of the tent of meeting, Aaron and his sons are to eat the meat of the ram and the bread as it is in the basket. They are to eat these offerings by which atonement was made for their original ordination and consecration. But no one else may eat them, because they are sacred. And if any of the meat of the ordination ram or any bread is left over until morning, burn it up. It must not be eaten, because it is sacred. Do for Aaron and his sons everything I have commanded you, taking 7 days to ordain them. Sacrifice a bull each day as a sin offering and make atonement. Purify the altar by making atonement for it and anoint it to consecrate it. For 7 days, make atonement for the altar and consecrate it. Then the altar will be made most holy, and whoever touches it will be holy. This is what you are to offer on the altar regularly each day. 2 lambs a year old. Offer one in the morning and the other at twilight. With the first lamb, offer a tenth of an ephah of fine flour mixed with a quart of hin. With the first lamb, offer a tenth of ephah of fine flour mixed with a quart of a hin of oil from pressed olives, quarter of a hin of wine as a drink offering. Sacrifice the other lamb at twilight with the same grain offering in its drink offering as in the morning, a pleasing aroma, an offering made to the Lord by fire. For the generations to come, this burnt offering is to be made regularly at the entrance of the tent of the meeting before the Lord. There I will meet you and speak to you. There also I will meet with the Israelites, and the place will be consecrated by my glory. So I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar, and will consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve me as priests. Then I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God. They will know that I am the Lord of their God. They will know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of Egypt so that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Chapter 30. Before I go into chapter 30, I've got a question for you. Please consider this. Why is God so detail-oriented in these directions, instructions? He had given them 10 commandments, and we'll revisit those here in the next few chapters. But then he also gave some other laws, and then he gave these very detailed instructions, directions, blueprints on building the tabernacle, the altar, and now the clothing for the priests. Why? Why so much detail? I don't know the answer. I just pose the question. I sense, or I get an appreciation, that God wants us to follow him, and to follow him does require a certain path, a path of commitment, a path of us hearing and learning, a path of us being tuned into him and his will. And this lays out as a path or a map for the future, the New Testament in our life today. And that is to serve the Lord, to love the Lord, is to follow his son Jesus, and to love the Lord with all our hearts, minds, and souls. And the way we do that is by becoming disciplined. And when I say disciplined, discipline not in that you're a workout guru or a connoisseur of fine, fine whatever, but we follow him with instruction. We are to be obedient. Christ was obedient just a couple weeks ago at Easter. Christ died a death that he said, "Lord, if it is your will, may this cup pass me by. But if it is your will, I will accept it." And it was God's will that Jesus die and be raised again so that you and I may have that relationship, that communion with God, our Father. So these directions are not just words or complexity of reading for me and listening for you, but it's a symbol or a prologue for what we are to follow in our lives. And that is, God does lay out for us what we should do and how we should do it. And it's to love him with all our hearts, minds, and souls, and to accept his son Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Much easier than talking about, blue and scarlet and purple linen or thread and fine linen and cubits long and curtains high and whatever. But it all makes sense. It all makes sense. Chapter 30. Make an altar of acacia wood for burning incense. It is to be square, a cubit long, and a cubit wide, and 2 cubits high. Its horns of one piece with it. Overlay the top of all the sides of the horns with pure gold, and make the gold molding around it. Make 2 gold rings for the altar below the molding, 2 on opposite sides to hold the poles used to carry it. Make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Put the altar in the front of the curtain that is before the Ark of the Testimony, before the atonement cover that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you. Aaron must burn fragrant incense on the altar every morning when he tends the lamp. He must burn incense again when he lights the lamps at twilight, so incense will be burned regularly before the Lord for the generations to come. Do not offer on this altar any other incense or any burnt offering or grain offering, and do not pour a drink offering on it. Once a year, Aaron shall make atonement on its horns. This annual atonement must be made with the blood of the atoning sin offering for the generations to come. It is most holy to the Lord. Atonement money. Then the Lord said to Moses, when you take a census of all the Israelites to count them, each one must pay the Lord a ransom for his life at the time of he is counted. Then no plague will come on them when you number them. Each one who crosses over to those already counted is to give a half shekel according to the sanctuary shekel, which weighs 20 gerahs. This half shekel is an offering to the Lord. All who cross over, those 20 years old or more, are to give an offering to the Lord. The rich are not to give more than a half shekel, and the poor are not to give less than what you make the offering to the Lord to atone for their lives. Receive the atonement money from the Israelites and use it for the service of the tent of meeting. It will be a memorial for the Israelites before the Lord, making atonement for their lives. The basin for washing. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a bronze basin with its bronze stand for washing. Place it between the tent of meeting and the altar, and put water in it. Aaron and his sons are to wash their hands and feet with water from it. Whenever they enter the tent of meeting, they shall wash with the water, so that they will not die. Also, when they approach the altar to minister by presenting an offering made to the Lord by fire, they shall wash their hands and feet so that they will not die. This is to be a lasting ordinance for Aaron and his descendants for the generations to come. Anointing oil. Then the Lord said to Moses, take the following fine spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much of that of fragrant cinnamon, 250 shekels of fragrant cane, 500 shekels of cassia, all according to the sanctuary shekel, and a hin of olive oil. Make these into a sacred anointing oil, a fragrant blend, the work of a perfumer. It will be the sacred anointing oil. Then use it to anoint the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony, the table and its articles, the lampstand and its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering and its utensils, and the basin with its stand. You shall consecrate them so that they will be most holy, and whoever touches them will be holy. Anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them so that they may serve me as priests. Say to the Israelites, this is to be my sacred anointing oil for the generations to come. Do not pour it on men's bodies and do not make any oil with the same formula. It is sacred, and you are to consider it sacred. Whoever makes perfume like it and whoever puts it on, anyone other than the priest must be cut off from his people. Incense. Then the Lord said to Moses, take fragrant spices, gum, resin, anchia, galbanum, and fine and pure frankincense in equal amounts, and make a fragrant blend of incense, the work of a perfumer. It is to be salted and pure and sacred. Grind some of it into a powder and place it in the front of the testimony in the tent of meeting, where I will meet with you. It shall be most holy for you. Do not make any incense or formula for yourselves, otherwise you will be cut off from your people. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Reflections. Thank you for listening to us. Be sure to join us next week at the same time. We'd love your feedback. Please give us a call at NC Reading Service, or you can join us on the podcast at ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. May God bless you and your family this day and every day.